A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to do a service at the Coshocton County Jail. And as I recall, I used some of the very scripture that we're going to be looking at here this morning as we talk about being set free. Now, outside of this jail there in town, there was a sidewalk that went close by it, and people could walk up and down the sidewalk. There was a city street that went by right next to the sidewalk, and cars going through there. And I remember telling those serving a jail sentence that it was possible for them to be more free within the confines of that building than for some of the people that were, quote, freely moving about outside the building. Our Bible text today is John chapter 8. We're looking at verses 31 to 47. And let's read it, and then we'll reflect on it more and think about it more closely. I think it has really a lot of relevant things for us today. John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And then Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." And they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You know the deeds of your father." And then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." Now, what are the things that we ought to be reflecting on and pondering deeply this morning? There are several in particular, several key points I want to expound on, the first one being that people need to be set free. That's key. That's bottom line. We need to think about that. And then secondly, we need to reflect on the fact that the truth will set people free. The truth will set people free. And going right along with that, or flowing out of that even, is the third key point, and it more specifically then is that Jesus will set people free. So that's where we're headed. The first point being that people need to be set free. Now, I don't know if you have ever been in a situation where you were trapped, as it were. You were unable to get out by yourself. It seems to me that one of the most one of the more recent kind of things that had gotten a lot of media attention was that soccer team that was trapped in the cave. They didn't realize the dire straits they were in when they began exploring that underground network. They didn't realize the kind of captivity that they would be in. W.H. Griffith Thomas suggests that one reason many have never realized their bondage to sin may actually be very paradoxical, but it is nevertheless very true. It is because they have never tried to get free. And he goes on to say and use the illustration then, so there's a yard where a dog is chained. The dog, however, is fast asleep, so he does not even realize his bondage. Later on, we may notice the dog eating his food. He's still a chain, but he's close there to where, you know, the dog dish is, and so he can eat, and no problem. You don't really notice anything problematic. He's still unconscious of his bondage. But soon comes the owner of the dog, who calls the dog, and what happens? All of a sudden, this dog is trying to go further, and the chains are restraining him. He can't. He can't go to where he wants to go. He's not free to do that. He's in restraint. And it's exactly that way with sin. You try to get free, and then you become very aware of your bondage. Now, in the scripture we're looking at, the people became aware that they are in bondage as the master calls them and beckons them to come. So there is, first of all, the awareness that they are enslaved to sin. And we see that in verses 33 and 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever." I'm sorry, I read the wrong verses, didn't I? They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Now, I don't know if you have ever wondered. You probably have. We probably all have wondered why some people do the crazy stuff they do. You know, bizarre stuff. There are all sorts of crazy things reported in the news. And we wonder, don't some people have any scruples at all? What we fail to realize sometimes is that some of these people are literally trapped. They're trapped in bondage. They're trapped in addictions. They're trapped in sin. They're slaves of sin. The MSG says, "Anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is in fact a slave. A slave is a transient who can't come and go at will." Can't come and go at will. In many regards, a person like that can't help it that they're doing wrong stuff. Why? Because on their own, they can't free themselves from their chains. It has to be the master that does that, just like the master of the dog frees the dog from its chains, and then the dog is able to roam around at will. When Jesus spoke to the people regarding bondage and freedom, there was also the awareness that they were enslaved to the devil. Jesus had told the people that if they were Abraham's children, they would do the works of Abraham, but that was not the case. They were trying to kill, to get at, the very one who was bringing them and bearing the truth. Notice again verses 42 to 44. Try to read the right verses this time. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now tell me something. Why would anyone want to remain in a situation like that? Why would anyone want to be under the control of one that can't be trusted, of one that is wicked, of one that speaks lies, of one that works contrary to God's purposes and plans? And yet, that is precisely where many people are at. It's the position they're in. Think about it. Either a person is functioning as a son or daughter of their Heavenly Father, or else they are in bondage to sin and are yet under the devil's control. So the second thing that we want to notice from our text is that the truth will set people free. So what did Jesus say here in verses 31 and 2? Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. James McConkie relates an incident that took place. It was shortly after the Civil War, and there was a northern woman that traveled to the south to visit some friends, and she stopped at a place along the way. It was actually a hotel, a small hotel, and there she was waited on by a woman who had been a slave. And the service provided by this woman was said to be careless and listless and inattentive and all of that. And as that went on, the northern woman became just a little bit, nettled, I guess is the word that she was using. And finally she burst out with, "Auntie, is this the way you treat people who have set you free?" And the woman made no reply, and she left the room. And later, when she came back, her entire demeanor had changed. Her figure was erect, her eyes were flashing, her voice was full of tears as she cried out with great emotion, "Oh, missus, is we free? Is we really free?" And the Emancipation Proclamation, you see, had been signed. She really was set free, but the woman was living as though the document had never been issued. The woman needed to know the truth. She needed to respond to the truth. She needed to believe the truth. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you," what? Free. Truth shall make you free. People need to know that there has been a spiritual Emancipation Proclamation that has been issued. If there's any doubt in your mind, then I'd like you to consider this morning some of the scripture that has been recorded for us in Romans. Romans chapter 6 that speak of what is the case for those that are abiding in Christ. Verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under what? Grace." Verse 18 says, "And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of what? Of righteousness." Verse 22 reads, "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life." So, since you're there, just flip a couple pages to Romans chapter 8 and think about the incredible things that are stated in verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." I don't know about you, but I find this so inspirational and so encouraging. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. Why? Because we have been set free in our response to the truth of the gospel. Has the reality of that sunk in? Are you living in light of it? Are you feeling blessed by it? Philip Bliss apparently experienced that. Years ago, he wrote this song entitled Once for All. Free from the law, O happy condition, Jesus hath bled and there is remission. By the way, did you see on the one song this morning? Hey folks, listen to me. Did you see in the one slide this morning the hand with the nail through it? Okay. Free from the law, O happy condition, Jesus hath bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. The second stanza continues, now are we free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear his sweet call, come, and he saves us once for all. I think Philip Bliss must have been absorbed in some of these scriptures that we're thinking about this morning, or else where would he have come up with that song? We heard how the woman's demeanor at the hotel changed once it registered that the Emancipation Proclamation truly was, and it truly meant her. She truly was free, and it should be the same thing when the truth of the gospel sinks in for us. It should make a difference, and it does when the reality of grace hits home. It registers. It sinks in. We understand it. We live in light of it. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that brings us to the third key point, sort of an extension of what we've been talking about, and yet we need to specifically highlight this, and that is that Jesus will set people free. We're picking up and noting again verses 34, 5, and 6. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son, capital S, makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The Son, Jesus. When I was in the Coshocton County Jail, telling those people that they could be more free than some of the folks that were going up and down the street at their will, or walking up and down the sidewalk outside of the jail there, what was I saying? Where was I coming from, and what was I meaning or trying to communicate to them? In a nutshell, I was pointing out that true freedom takes place within an individual, and that true freedom comes through the relationship with Jesus Christ. I love the way that Maxie Denham put things into his introduction in Galatians in his communicator's commentary. By the way, Maxie Denham, this is just a side note here, but Maxie is still one of the key pastors at that Methodist church in Memphis, where the former interim pastor at Midway, Jesse Johnson, is now on staff at. Galatians, he says, Maxie says, Galatians is the Magna Carta of evangelical Christianity. It's Paul's declaration of religious freedom, a freedom that involves independence from men and dependence upon God. And Dunham goes on to say, the overarching theme of this epistle is grace, God's grace alone, by which we are saved. By grace, God frees us from the law, liberates us from legalism and the rigidity of rules, and gives us a spirit-filled life of joy, meaning, and ministry. Accepting Christ by faith, we're not only justified, we become new beings in Him, and we enter a new realm of power, the Spirit, and Christ lives in us. Our lives reflect His life as He is formed in us. We produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is the expression of Christ in us. I think that's rich, and I appreciate the way that he was able to articulate all that. Our calling is to come to Jesus that he might deliver us from our sinful past and that he might be at work in and through us. And our calling is to continue in that relationship with our Redeemer. As is put in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Now, a paraphrase of that that we find in the MSG puts it like this: Christ has set us free to live a free life, so take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Now, as we think about freedom, we ought to think not only what we've been freed from sin, freed from death, freed from Satan, but we should also be thinking about what we've been freed unto. What we've been freed unto. We've been freed that we might experience everything that God created us to know, to have, to experience, to live in light of. We've been freed that we might truly be God's people. We've been freed that we might live in newness of life. We've been freed that we might worship our Lord and be an ambassador for Him in this world. People need to be set free. The truth will make people free. The truth of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God. Jesus will set people free. Now, many of you have been restless this morning. You've been distracted. I hope that you have caught something of what God had to say about freedom, and that when we sing this song of response in a moment, that it will come from your hearts. And if not, it's a good time to begin to do so. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your work at Calvary. We pray, Lord God, that you will continue to move. We pray that bondage might cease, that deliverance might flow, that you would come and have and take your rightful place, and that we would truly live in the freedom that is in Christ. So may you be praised, may you be glorified and honored, and continue to be at work. In Jesus' name, amen.